Welcome to We Geek Podcast. Today is July 15th, 2015. And as always, my name is Adam. I'm here with my good friend Logan.
Hello.
What's up? And man, it's been quite a week. God, what a. The Comic-Con was huge.
Yeah, big time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Before we get into Comic-Con, though, I did want to say something. Yeah. President of Nintendo died, passed away. Mr. Iwata. I'm probably mispronouncing his name.
No, you got it. Satoru Iwata. You got it.
Right. And, you know, I'll be honest, you know, I don't know much about, you know, the people in the industry, higher ups, only bits and pieces that I've learned, you know, listening to podcasts and whatnot. I always recognized his face, of course, you know, when they did their, what do you call them? They do the directs. And, but before that, you know, they would be on the stage floor of E3 and, man, he had quite a career.
He really did.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty much responsible for one of my favorite games of all time, Pokemon Gold and Silver.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did some research looking into, like, of everything he touched, because I know he touched a lot. And he just, God, what a career, and what a sad thing, so young.
Yeah, 55, man, that's, in this day and age, that's nothing.
Yeah, that's nothing at all. And, you know, it makes sense to me. It makes way more sense now why they went with the puppet stuff for the show and for, you know, for E3 and stuff. And, like, yeah. Of course, he wasn't there the year before because that's when I remember him saying he was sick. But I thought he was getting better.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he passed away. So I just, of course, wanted to pay our respects to him and, you know, his legacy, because, man, what is it, quite a legacy. When I was reading about it, like, he pulled Nintendo out of the fire like 3 times, and, you know, oh, it wouldn't be what it is today without him. So
no, and the three at Nintendo, he and Miyamoto and Reggie, they've kind of become personalities. You know, these are people, like, you're sad when you see that they've passed, but people say, well, you've never met them. Like, yeah, but I know them.
Right.
You get a sense of who they are and everything, especially because they put themselves so much front and center. And they do this. That's the one thing that I love about the video game industry side of it, is that even the people way up the ladder are still so invested in this stuff.
And it's
such a huge, it's a really great thing. You know, what was the quote everybody's been passing around? He said, on my business card, it says I'm a corporate president. In my mind, I know I'm a game developer. In my heart, I'm a gamer.
Like, yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's it. That's perfect.
Yeah. And you can tell, like, some of the, like, Kirby's Dream Land and stuff like that, like, it's, like, it just, it, how influential that was,
yeah.
And all the stuff he touched, and how he crammed, you know, Gold and Silver into that little tiny Game Boy game. It's still, to this day, that game blows my mind of how massive it is for a Game Boy Color game.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding.
Like, it's insane. So, yeah, man, it's super sad news. I don't think Nintendo, you know, of course, announced, you know, who's going to be taking over or anything like that. But yeah, it was definitely a sad end of the weekend. And it was, I think it was Monday morning when they announced it there.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Time's all off for me when it comes to Japan, but yeah. There's really no way to segue, you know, into the news and stuff like that. So we'll get into more upbeat stuff. But yeah, dude, Comic-Con. Holy crap.
Yeah, it's some big doings this week.
This was a good Comic-Con, I thought.
I agree, yeah.
You know, we'll get into the trailers, which, you know, for the mainstream, that's what it's all about. You know, the movie trailers and the TV show trailers.
Yeah.
And we'll get into some of the comic stuff. And, you know, it's called Comic-Con, but it's really not the place comic book companies come to show their, you know, what's coming up. You know, we kind of know what's going on with DC and Marvel. We already know. We know for the next 6 months, you know, or at least, you know, 6 months. Not a year, but about 6 months, what both companies are doing, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, we know with Marvel relaunching and DC, you know, trying to not make everything canon, or not canon, I shouldn't say canon, what's the word I'm looking for?
Connected.
Where everything connects,
yeah.
You know, timeline where you need to know where this person is here. They're kind of just like, hey, here's a comic. Enjoy it. You don't need to, you know, wait, why is Superman's power? You know, you don't need to know. Just pick it up and go. And I kind of like that because that was one thing about the DC comics where I was like, I don't know where I'm at. I liked that I could pick up the new Justice League and enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, and if I picked up Green Lantern, it has a completely different type of Hal Jordan. I can enjoy it. So I liked that. But yeah, so we'll get into the comic book stuff later. I guess we'll start out with the big stuff. Like mine's a toss up between my two favorite trailers. I have a number one. And you know, we can decide what to talk about first. Let me ask you. Well, first of all, I didn't even ask you, man. How was your week?
It was fine. You know, I mean, it's the same old. Like, it's,
yeah.
If there's anything new, you know, then I would have. Hey, but not. You know, work, games. I've been playing a lot of Rocket League.
Dude,
how cool
is that?
I know. I remember when it was. What was it? Because there was a precursor to this. A few years ago, and I can't remember what it was called.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was like Rocket Power Car Championship or something. Somebody will know. But they had a demo for that, and I was like, and I played the crap out of that. And that one was a little more kind of combat oriented.
Okay.
And in this one, they've really just kind of stripped that away, which works for me. Like, I love that this is just soccer with cars. It's great, with like micro machines. I love it.
Yeah, yeah, no, totally. I didn't know when I, yeah, and you're right. It was called Rocket Cars,
yeah.
I think. But you're right. Yeah, when I saw it was a PlayStation Plus, I was like, what? What is this? That's kind of weak. You know, that was just my, you know, ignorant mind because I didn't think anything better. And on a lot of the forums and stuff that I do read or a lot of the Facebook groups, everyone was like, oh my God, I can't wait for this. And I was like, whoa, people are really excited. And then I saw how everyone was playing it. I downloaded it and I was like, this is really fun. It's soccer with, like you said, an RC car. So yeah we got to play that, man, because I've just been doing like the single player stuff because I don't really like multiplayer. I haven't jumped into that yet. You know, I just hopped in to do the single player and do the, you know, I did the training and then I did the, you know, just single player, just me by myself, seeing how I liked it. And it felt pretty good.
Yeah. And this is totally one of those games where you could say, hey, I'm going to jump on and either, you know, by myself or just jump on the like one multiplayer match and play, you know, like 5 minutes. Or you could sit down for a whole season and just do, you know, what, 10, 20 games in a row. Like it's awesome. And it's it really depends on it's such a user driven game. Like you're not worried about something jumping at you out of nowhere. It's like, no, it's a skill. It's a player skill based game. And I love it. I think it's awesome.
Oh yeah, I loved that. Like, oh, I unlocked this, I unlocked that, and I was like, oh, a different vehicle, a different load of paint, and the different flag. I had the American flag up there for a little bit. I saw that the Greg Miller guy over at Kind of Funny, former IGN guy, he had his Team Fat flag. They put it in the game because I guess he knows the creators.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I was like, that is so cool. So. Yeah, we definitely need to play that.
Totally.
That is one thing I checked out. I did beat Batman.
There you go.
Yeah, I finally beat Batman, got 100%, got all the Joker stuff.
Riddler. Riddler.
Yeah, the Riddler. I'm sorry. Got all the Riddler stuff. And, well, see, that was a thing. I had, like, I don't even know, like, maybe 20 10 or 20 trophies to go, and I couldn't find them anywhere on the map, and I was like, I'm missing something. So I beat the game, and then I went back and I thought, oh, that's right, there was the whole subway tunnel and places I couldn't see.
Yeah.
And so I went to those spots and I got all the trophies and I was like, finally, I'm done. And then I thought, do I want to platinum this? And no, I just put the controller down and I probably won't go back for a while. Yeah, because I looked at the platinum list and that is too much. That's way too much. But I completed it. I'm good. It was a great game. Time to move on. I tried to go back to The Witcher and, oh, that was kind of rough.
Yeah, so. you need It's something like Rocket League is perfect, like a decompression kind of like transition game. It's perfect. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. After I beat Batman, I was like, okay, what have I been putting off that I need to do in the real world? I started doing that, and I touched The Witcher for a little bit, and I was like, nah, I can't do that right now. So you're right. I definitely need to play some Rocket League, hang out, and jump in and out. But yeah, man. Yeah, so that was my week. Just work's been stressful. So yeah, any that's Batman was definitely helpful. but yeah, man. So all right, back to Comic-Con. My favorite trailer, which actually it wasn't even really a trailer. It was the Star Wars reel that J.J. Abrams did.
Yeah, like the behind the scenes. Yeah, that was cool.
God, that killed me. Like I do see a lot of films these days, but I'm not as obsessed as I used to be. Like there was an age where it was in my maybe I was 19 or 20 where I was really, you know, I always loved film, I always loved watching movies, and my parents always knew that. But it wasn't until like 19 or 18, I kind of wish I would have acted more on it, especially going to school and whatnot, but that was an age where I was just obsessed with film, because it was like all this stuff that I've kind of not cared about, I suddenly care about.
Yeah.
And how it's made sometimes was more important to me than the actual film itself. I would spend hours obsessing over, you know, for example, the Lord of the Ring documentaries, which is longer than the films itself, which is unheard of.
Yeah.
You know, and I would obsess over how they make the film and the behind the scenes. And when you do that, when you sit there and you spend hours seeing how they make it, I think it gives you a little bit more appreciation to when you actually seeing it and you're like, holy shit, it took a village to make this.
Oh yeah.
And J.J. Abrams he's always struck that fire with me. If anyone's listening, you've never seen his TED Talks, go see that. He's obsessed with film. He's in love with film. You see since day one, just him poring over it as a kid. And, you know, then of course he made a career out of it. And he did, you know, the huge things like Lost and Star Trek and now Star Wars. And seeing the behind the scenes was just such a treat, not just to a film, but like a film I'm obsessed with. How it starts out, and you hear the beats, you just hear that music, whatever that score is, I loved it. And you see just these shots of the, you know, and it's very, everything's centered in the shots, everything's centered. And the score, whatever behind it, is very nostalgia. It's very like, and you hear, and then you of course hear Mark Hamill talk about how it's a very familiar place, but everything's different, yet everything's still the same. And like you see all of these practical effects, these actual sets. You see the Millennium Falcon. You see all this stuff going on. You hear Simon Pegg talk about just how in love he is. And how just he's in heaven. And then, of course, it ends with Han Solo and Leia, you know, sitting there, and you see J.J. Abrams in the, you know, in the Falcon. You're just like, God, if you're not convinced that this is going to be good and not what the prequels are, after seeing that, there's nothing that's going to change your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sorry, I skipped over there for a second. I don't know what happened to my brain, but yeah, dude, J.J. Abrams, just that blew me away. And I read that he led everyone in Hall H. He said, "Hey guys, do you like the score? Come outside." And you know, we're going to do I don't know if it was John Williams, but it was an orchestra that was outside. It was a live concert. And he played it for everyone in Hall H, and they gave everyone lightsabers.
Well, shit.
It was like, wow, hey, everybody, come outside. And a whole bunch of stormtroopers marched everyone outside. And I was just like, that's how you do a Comic-Con, you know?
And the follow-up to that was, after everybody left, you know what panel was immediately after the Star Wars panel?
Which one?
Yoga Hosers.
Wait, what?
yeah. Kevin Smith had to come out, and there were, at first, there were like 20 people that were there.
So, oh, wow.
And then everybody else kind of filed in. And well, because the thing is, for anybody that doesn't know about Comic-Con, usually you go into whatever room or hall, especially if it's Hall H, and you find a seat, and for the next like 87 hours, you don't move from that seat. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just how that works.
Yeah,
so usually, you know, and some people are like, yeah, well, we're not really, you know, we don't want to see this or whatever. Or we just came for that or whatever. So there is a turnover, but it's not a really large turnover usually.
Right.
So to come out to get ready to do your panel and you're looking at they're having to bring, you know, like the people are coming in to fill this now empty room. The first panel of every day comes out and everybody's already seated. You know, this place is already packed. So just to come out to that, it's like, well, you know, but then, you know, as it filled up and he got a really good crowd in there. So it was kind of like it was funny. It seemed to me like his career.
Yeah.
Like a great metaphor for his career. It's like, well, it started here and then it kind of grew and grew. And then the people who really wanted to be there were there. And that's and there you go.
I got to see this. I didn't see that. So I assume it's somewhere on the internet.
There was a report. I'll send you the link from there was somebody that was there and they were just like, wow.
Yeah, I could imagine. I just, in my head, I see Kevin Smith come out on the stage and I see 20 people sitting there in a hole in the whole Hall H, and he's just like, fucking J.J. Abrams. Yeah. I can see him just like, God damn it. It's just pissed off. Yeah,
it's Chasing Amy all over again. You know?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, why did we do that? You know, we have to follow up Star Wars. You know, I mean, who would have thought they would have marched them all out to a concert outdoors? Like, I don't think that's ever happened before. But man, that was definitely my. There's other trailers that I was like, wow, that's awesome. But man, that Star Wars one, I must have watched 50 times. I'm not even kidding. Like, the first like few clips of that, I'm obsessed with just seeing those shots and that music behind it and hearing you know, Mark Hamill talk. Oh my god, every time I needed a cigarette after that trailer. I was just like, December cannot come soon enough. And that is, I don't care what else is coming out, and I say that lightly because I'm actually going to go see Ant-Man this weekend and I think I'm going to enjoy it because all the reviews are great, but that is what nothing else matters, you know, entertainment wise to me, except for that's the focus this year.
Yeah. If nothing else, that. Yeah, yes. Totally. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Shit. If I'm alive by the end of the year, that I'm seeing that come hell or high water. So yeah, man. What about you? Was that your favorite or did you have a different one?
I gotta tell you, I like that, you know, obviously, like that was, and you know, watching everybody's face at some point, especially like when they cut to Daisy Ridley climbing up in, I guess it was the Falcon, but just like the look on her face. And I was like, yeah, these guys understand this is Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like they know that this, they understand just how big this is and just how high the bar is set. And they're not looking at it like people are putting pressure on us. They're like, no, this is a thing. Not only are people expecting it to do well, but we want it to do well. Everybody involved in this wants this to be the greatest thing ever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You can tell just the, you know, maybe it's just a giant magician's trick, but you can tell anyone that's involved in this, just how much respect they have for the franchise.
Oh, yeah.
How much they want it to do well, you know, and it will be one of the, you know, Star Wars is huge. It is a mammoth. There is nothing that, in my eyes, is probably the biggest franchise on the planet. You know, I'm sure there's more recognizable characters and whatnot, but to me, that's big. And it took such a blow with the prequels, especially, you know, to the people who saw the original films. Now, to kids and whatnot, and a lot of people our age, they don't see it as such a big disappointment, but anyone older, just, it was like, wow, I don't want to, they cringed when they heard Disney was getting this, and they cringed when they heard that they were going to do 7, 8, and 9. I'm sure a little bit of inside of them was like, ooh, I would love to see that, but I'm sure most of it was like, no. But most of my friends, most of the people that I know that absolutely did not want this to happen have totally changed their tune.
Yeah.
Totally done a 180, you know.
But, sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, how can you not? You know, at this point, if you're looking at this and you're still saying, you know, well, it's going to be bad, or well, I don't care, or whatever, then that's just you. Like, then you're just not a Star Wars fan, and that's cool. You know, hey, everybody has their own taste. But you can't deny at this point that this is going to be awesome. And if you don't enjoy it, then jump in front of a bus.
Yeah, just, you know, if you can't enjoy this, you know, of course, we haven't seen the film, but what we've seen so far, it is 100% in the direction of where I think it should be going what it should be. You know, it doesn't, there's no pod races. It looks like Star Wars, the Star Wars we know. And it's a new story, which is more important. You know, it's not more important, but it's just as important. You know, that it's a new story. It's going to be all, you know, we still have our old characters, but it's going to be something new. And it's going to be in this universe that we know. Not, you know, I'm sure it's going to have a bunch of CGI, but it's not going to be on the level as the older, you know, the prequels. So, yeah, man, I got to stop talking about Star Wars, but I could do a whole podcast on how excited I was at that. But, yeah. So, oh, yeah, sorry, back to you. What was your favorite trailer?
I got to tell you, because I was floored. I was looking at, and especially because, like, I went through today and rewatched, you know, every trailer that they did and did not officially release. And the one that blew me away was Batman vs. Superman. I was stunned. I watched that trailer and I thought, okay, am I feeling that? Like, is that excitement that I'm feeling for this?
Oh.
Really?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, that's a trailer. Okay. Now I'm interested. Now I'm invested. Now I understand. Okay. Yeah. And I love how somebody lined up the shots from, in Man of Steel, where Zod's kind of going crazy with his heat vision, and in this trailer where you see it from Bruce Wayne's perspective, and they match up perfectly. I'm like, that's okay. That's cool. I see what you did there.
Oh, but, yeah. I agree with you 100%. This was the other one when I was saying there's a toss up.
Yeah.
I went with Star Wars, but yeah, Batman versus Superman. I have, you know, I remember being burned, you know, that's the thing. The teaser trailer for Man of Steel is still one of my favorite trailers of all time. Yeah. And, you know, and that's why I'm still a little hesitant, but at the same time, I've taken off the shackles. I am ready to see this. I'm ready to see it for what it is, you know, and not, and you know, that's what I think my problem with the first one was. I had just too high of expectations. You know, I still have my issues with everything being blank slated darkness, but at the same time, I've kind of gotten over that. I'm like, let's do it, let's get in. And it actually, like you said, looked exciting. You know, the for as much as, you know, we can rag on, or at least I do, you know, about, you know, oh, you know, Superman should be a little brighter and whatever, this showed, I thought, the right things. They get a lot of the comic book stuff right.
Yeah.
Even when it doesn't really look right, it looks like the comic book. Like, you know, I saw a picture posted online of Lex looking at the kryptonite, and it's the exact same, you know, scene. He's looking at kryptonite with his hair and everything. I don't know what Superman comic it was from, but it was dead. You could tell Snyder went through books. He was like, oh, I like that scene. Okay, I like that. Okay, let's put that, you know, very iconic. Like, even when the Dark Knight, I saw another one where the Dark Knight is on the, when Batman's on the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's straight up from, you know, the Dark Knight, you know, cover. So, like, it's, there's a lot of things in it that, you know, it's like, that's very iconic. The way Batman looks, you know, when he's, it was like desert Batman.
Looks, it looks like Batman cough from Red Sun. Like, I love that when I saw that, like, I had, like, a little squee moment. Because like, that looks wicked. Like, that same looks awesome.
Oh, yeah. Same when Superman, you know, saves the rocket thing. That's straight from Red Sun as well.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of – and that was my big kind of question mark with that whole scene in the desert and the Superman, you know, army. You know, I was like, that looks more like a dream or something. That looks something that's not – it doesn't seem like it fits in this, you know? So, you know, I have a few theories on that. Like, maybe it's a dream or something, Batman thinking that Superman's army is going to whatever, you know, or, you know, and that's the other thing, like his whole army, like this with the Superman patches, I no idea how that fits in. That's a giant question mark for me.
Yeah.
A buddy of mine had a theory, and I think he heard it from somewhere, but he was telling me that, you know, his idea was that, like, you know, what if it was actually Lex's army and he was like the private security for Superman?
Well, there's, you know, there's those couple shots in the trailer where it you know, that's not the most outrageous idea.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, one of my lines that I loved, and I saw a lot of hate on the internet for, was when he says the red capes are coming. The red capes are coming.
I love that. I did. I thought it was great because, like, look, this is not everybody, you know, and us included, I'm sure we have to kind of take a step back and say, look, we have to realize these characters are going to be reimagined. You know, this is not Lex channeling the Joker or something, you know. It was like, hey, he had a moment where he said something kind of funny because he's egomaniacal and brilliant. And, you know, this is, it's like, of course he's going to say something silly like that because that's kind of part of Lex's personality.
Oh, so, yeah.
Like, it's, you know, I don't know, man.
That's the thing. When my friends are like, oh, he doesn't look like, he doesn't whatever. And I was like, let's think about the last time we saw Lex in a movie. He was creating kryptonite land off the coast. Like, yeah. I don't want that Lex anymore. You know, I don't want that powerful guy to walk in the room. I want to see what Jesse does because I'm intrigued by it. I like it. I liked his, you know, and the whole Paul Revere thing makes perfect. I thought, how brilliant was that? He's going to be the human going, no, the red cape are coming. This is bad. I'm warning you. Yeah. This is a problem. And it's poetic. And I thought it was so brilliant, you know, but a lot of people just didn't get it, or they just thought it was out of place. And I was like, no, that's perfect. And of course, all the shots with Batman versus Superman, and like that last scene where he rips the Batman's doors off and Batman just stands up and he's like, okay, like, you don't scare me. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, and so it's there's a lot of other little things, like I didn't notice when I first saw it, but I saw a picture online, like, you know, Batman looking at Robin's costume.
The joke's on you. Yeah, I loved it.
God, that's got to be Jason Todd, you know?
Yeah, oh, totally.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, the newspaper clipping, you know, of the, you know, it looked like the towers that fell or whatnot. And it said, "You let your family die," and yeah. It looks like the Joker would have wrote something like that, you know. Seeing the manor burned down, I like that we're in this world where 20 years of Batman has happened.
Yeah.
Like you said. Yeah. Oh, and how could we forget Wonder Woman? Like they showed her in just being regular, you know, human, but not human, you know what I mean, her regular outfits and whatnot. But then when they show her in her Wonder Woman outfit and how powerful that was, and just like, oh, shit. Like, she, you know, when she clamps the wrist things together.
The bracers, yeah.
Bracers, yeah. Holy crap, that was great.
Yeah. You know? That's going to be interesting because we all know that David Goyer doesn't understand strong female characters. So we're going to see just how much influence he had on this film based on how Wonder Woman's character works.
Yeah, I think a lot of eyes are going to be on that because people have been waiting for that Wonder Woman movie for years. It's going to be interesting to see how she plays it. And apparently, from what I read, Bruce Wayne and Wonder Woman know each other in this. They know each other's identity.
Well, really? Okay, that one. Okay. I was going to say, so, like, those, like, if Bruce Wayne and Diana Prince were, like, business associates or anything, that would be some kind of sense, sure.
Yeah, and that's what they kind of showed her as. She was in, you know, getting into her limo and stuff. You know, and apparently the Wonder Woman movie is going to take place in the 40s, which is a fantastic thing, I thought. And so you're going to see, you know, this is an established kind of Wonder Woman that maybe hasn't come out. And we'll talk about that when we get to the Suicide Squad trailer. But, you know, they even say in it, like once Superman came out, it was like all these things started creeping out into the world. Like, yeah. Oh, it's okay to, you know, and maybe that's what happened with Wonder Woman. That's why I imagine it's going to be like Batman and Wonder Woman against Superman.
Yeah.
But with
Lex Luthor, who hated being at Comic-Con this year.
Yeah, I saw that. He's always got weird things to say.
And I mean, this look like I understand that maybe it's not the most pleasant experience. I mean, you know, I can't really imagine what it would be like to go up on a stage and have tens of thousands of people cheer for you because you're portraying a fictional character in a movie. But damn, man, like
from what I read, it like he got. It was people actually like yelling at him. They didn't like the red capes are coming. It was like having everyone at once tell you that you suck.
Oh well,
walking around the floor. No. I totally agree with you. Like you get paid the money to do that, and you're there to show up. And sure, people are going to be saying bad things or whatever. It's like having the internet in front of you.
Yeah.
And that's as a person, like that's kind of a bad thing. But at the same time, like that's. It's a part of your job, and there's other people who do it just gracefully. You know, you don't have to be a dick.
Yeah.
And that's what he I've seen some interviews where he definitely comes off as a dick. And that, I don't know, like it was just such a shitty thing to say.
You know, I mean, that's why he gets cast in the roles he does. I mean, I think that's part of why it worked so well for him in The Social Network.
Oh, of course.
And look, you know, I'm not trying to judge him or bash him personally, but I'm saying, look, dude, this is what you do. This is what you chose to do.
Right.
And if you went into this thinking that this wasn't going to happen, then you're an idiot.
Yeah.
And just, you know, like you have to expect this. I'm not condoning it. Obviously it's crap, but the world is how it is. So you've got to have a better way to deal with it. You know, you could just say, well, you know, of course it wasn't pleasant, but that's, you know, some people, everybody, you could even just turn it around and say, you know, it's good to see that people are so invested in this that they're opinionated. And yeah,
exactly.
I can understand that you would hate it and despise it because it's, again, it's not a great feeling, but, you know, bite down on it.
Exactly. It was that last remark that I think just put the nail in it, because all he could have said was like, oh, a lot of people yelled at me, like joking around. And of course that could have been taken, you know, something taken like that. You know, think about if someone recorded you all day long,
yeah.
Like the ridiculous things that would come out. But yeah, if you were just like, wow, like, I got yelled at, you know, for all day. And it was a different experience or whatever. Leave it at that. Don't go and making remarks to things that, you know, absolutely have no place in that.
Yeah.
So yeah, dude, it's, but yeah, man, but besides that, I really dug the trailer. This Comic-Con really turned me around with a lot of the DC stuff.
Yeah.
Because before it, I was not excited. Now I am. Now I'm totally on board for what they have. I'm a little hesitant on some things, but you know, it's one of those things like, this is what DC's doing. They have a huge plan for a connected universe. You're either going to be on board and try and enjoy it, or you're just not, and you just don't go see them. So I'm in the field of let's see what they have. Let's give it a try, because you know I really thought about, like, I don't want to see the same old stuff. Nothing's going to top Heath Ledger's Joker to me, you know, in my mind. And if someone does come through a performance for that, fantastic. You know, it's you know, it, well, for a live action I should say, because Mark Hamill does a fantastic Joker. That's
there
my Joker,
you go.
You know, as a kid. but you know what I mean, like a live action performance of
right,
him, nothing's
right.
gonna top that, so why not try something different and see what happens.
And boy do they ever.
Yeah, you want to talk about Suicide Squad?
Yeah, let's. I was not impressed, like, I because and here's the thing, like, it was all the trailer's fault. It was the editing. I hated the editing. Everything was cut too fast.
Yeah.
I hated that. I hate when a trailer is made up of everything is like a second and a half long. I can't stand that.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, what's her name? Margot Robbie. Margot Robbie. Holy crap.
Yeah, she's definitely going to be a big time breakout star after this.
Yeah. Oh my god. I thought, first of all, just gorgeous. Like, you know, but the, you know, her little like laughs and stuff, and like when she's sitting in the car and she's like, I hope you got insurance and stuff like that, or like when, I forgot who it was, I think it was Will Smith, he was, or no, it was someone else, where they're like, so he said something about, you know what they say about the crazy ones, and she's like, yeah, what, or whatever. Like those little moments in those trailers, I loved hers. But I, no, I agree with you. Like it was like we got glimpses of characters, got glimpses of Croc and a bunch of other characters I don't know. And, you know, Rick Flag, a lot of them blend together to me because I don't know DC Comics as much as I do Marvel.
Yeah.
So a lot of them, I'm like, okay, I think that's Rick, you know, I couldn't tell who was, you know, of course I know Deadshot, but I was like, wait, which one's Boomerang? Which one's, you know, the Rick Flag, you know, Killer Croc's obvious. You know, but yeah, and so then of course the stuff at the end with the Joker.
Yeah, that's, I'm telling you, I that was what I was waiting for, was to see, because we've seen the look, but now let's see some of the performance, and I'm on board. I'm totally on board.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely was better than I thought it was going to be. It's still, out of the whole trailer, that's still the one thing that kind of turns me off. But I want to see more of him just saying, you know, I want to hurt you real bad. But that was a great line. Like, yeah, that was like, he's psychotic, and that's what he's supposed to be.
Exactly.
You know, I've gotten kind of past the tattoos and all that other stuff. It's a modern day look for him. Why not? Whatever. You know, I can't wait to see more of it on screen. And, you know, it's definitely going to be in the portrayal of it and the acting of it. And, you know, I want to judge that, you know, than you know, a picture and a few seconds of him on screen. But, you know, it's just made me wonder, like, who is he torturing? You know, is that a flashback scene? You know, my theory is that, you know, we saw the Batman versus Superman trailer. We saw the dead Robin. I'm convinced the J under his eye is for Jason Todd. Like, I am totally convinced that's for Jason.
Really?
Yeah. Because, you know, and this isn't a spoiler for Arkham Knight, because I'm not going to spoil that. But there's a scene in it where there's a flashback of Jason Todd being tortured. And, you know, the Joker puts a J under his eye. And I'm like, God, that wouldn't that be just poetic if everyone thought the J underneath the Joker's eye was for Joker, but it was actually because he killed Jason Todd. So, you know, instead of a tear, he put a J.
I was like, okay,
I was like, that would be perfect. And, you know, my buddy was thinking, like, you know, that's probably what, you know, put Batman into retirement, put the Joker and Harley in jail. You know, that was probably the line that he crossed where, you know, that's a big event movie that, you know, we'll never see, but they'll probably talk about it a lot in Batman versus Superman and a lot in Suicide Squad. And I was like, yeah, that's brilliant. Like, that would make perfect sense. You know, you don't have to tell us that story. You don't have to show us that story. Just kind of tell us, show it in Ben Affleck's acting, like how he acts around that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that got me more excited. That got me like, yes, hell yes. I want a universe with a dead Jason Todd and an Arkham, or I'm sorry, his Wayne Manor burned down and all that shit already happened. So I want new stuff. Or I want, you know, now we can introduce these stuff from the comic books that they didn't for years into the movies, because it's always been like an origin story or a first few feet in it. Now it's like established and these characters are in the world and they exist and they have history.
Yeah.
So that got me way more excited about it, because I'm like, okay, you know, here's a Joker who has a lot of history with Batman already. It's not just them first meeting. And I like that. So, I can't take anything else. I don't know anything else from that trailer that blew me away. I thought I liked Will Smith's, you know, it was weird seeing that still of them. And I was like, this looks like something from a movie that might have came out, you know, 8 years ago.
Yeah.
But seeing it live action, I was way more convinced, especially Will Smith. Like, I was like, I like everything he's saying. Like, of course, he's like, let's go save the world line. And I loved his, so were the Patsies, were some type of Suicide Squad. Like,
well, somebody had to say it.
Yeah. And I was like, if anyone's going to say it, Will Smith, he can deliver lines like that beautifully. And so I liked that. I really liked that. But yeah, man, it makes me curious who the Joker's hurting, you know?
Yeah.
So that's intriguing. Yeah. Anything else you want to say about Suicide Squad?
No, I mean, I think that pretty well covers it.
All right. Did you see the Deadpool one?
I did. And I'll tell you, it showed you exactly what you're going to get.
Yep.
I mean, this is exactly, for better or worse, this is exactly what people ask for.
Oh, yeah. DC came out with a statement like, you know, these trailers were meant for Hall H experience, and it sucks that someone went online and leaked it, and, you know,
this goes back to the same thing all over again. Like, this is the age we live in. Deal with it. Oh, somebody recorded it off their phone. Of course they did.
Right.
Like,
it's
2015.
Years ago,
yeah.
Sure.
Like, I understand if you're going to say, hey, you guys get to see it first, and then, you know, tomorrow it goes up on the internet or something like that. But don't do this whole, like, well, we only wanted them to see it. You can't do that anymore. It's just not an option anymore. It's just not.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good.
I totally agree. That my thought is, let them have their weekend, and on Monday put all the trailers live on the internet.
Totally.
You know, there's one trailer missing from here, that the World of Warcraft trailer that I heard was 5 minutes long or something like that, and it blew people's minds. Nowhere to be seen. Didn't even get a leaked trailer of it. We got like some flyover Azeroth. I don't even know what the hell that was, and some like weird vision thing, but when it's shown there, it's like for example, the World of Warcraft, we'll get back to the Deadpool in a second, but the World of Warcraft one, they've shown this for 3 years and I've still yet to see it. They showed it at BlizzCon and I have not seen it. They showed it at Comic-Con, I have not seen it. I'm sorry, so I guess it's 2 years, and they showed it this year and I've still not seen it. And it's like, what the hell? Like, I know people are, we all knew some of these were going to get leaked, especially the big ones like Suicide Squad and stuff like that. But I was like, World of Warcraft should be big enough to make people go, I'll pull out a camera, you know, but I guess they had tighter security for that one. But yeah, man, that's one I'm really excited for. And I didn't get to see it. I only got to see posters, which
they did announce when they're going to release it, though, didn't they?
I thought that was already announced. It's next year, right?
Wow. Is it that long? No, I meant the trailer, not the movie.
No, I didn't. When is it going to be released?
That's why I asked you. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I have no idea.
I saw there was a thing. Like, they did announce when they were going to release the trailer, but I don't remember when it was.
Yeah, dude. I only see, like, the film's out June 10, 2016. Of course, I'll probably go back and I'm sure it's posted some. If it was, I'm sure I can find it somewhere on the internet later. But, yeah, dude, I was massively disappointed about that, because I hear nothing but good things. I hear everyone saying like, and it was like an extended trailer in a way. And I thought, what the hell? They got trailers, extended trailers, and we still haven't seen it, you know? And so I don't know. But yeah, man, Deadpool. And that was one where it was like you saw half the screen for a second, and then like someone stands in front of the camera and picks his nose, and, you know, but yeah, just, you know, hearing everything from it mostly, and, you know, seeing what I could see, I thought it was dead on. Dead, you know, pun intended.
Yeah,
I thought,
make sure the suit doesn't suck. Like, it's not green or animated.
Right, exactly. That is perfect, and what a shot, you know, at DC. I thought that was amazing, and Ryan Reynolds he's the perfect guy for it. So
he is. And look, this is exactly what Deadpool fans wanted. So I don't want to hear anybody who wanted this movie cry and complain about anything to do with it.
Yeah.
Because this was exactly Deadpool. It's R-rated. It's bloody. It's really terrible juvenile humor. You know, it's going to be what it is. And it looks fun. Like, I'm not the biggest fan in the world, but I thought, you know, I would go see this.
Oh, yeah.
I would totally go see this.
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to absolutely be there opening weekend. And like you said, I'm not the biggest Deadpool fan. It's not my kind of comic. But I like Ryan Reynolds, and of course I'm going to go see it. Like, I like it enough to, you know, be there, and it looks funny, and god damn, like, it. I like that he came out and he was just like, this would not be here if it wasn't for you guys. Like,
yeah.
He thanked the fans immediately, because he was like, you know, when that first thing leaked, you know, I don't know how many months ago.
It was a year, wasn't it?
It was a year, yeah, and it was like something locked away in Fox Studio, you know, apparently or whatever, and it was leaked, and people were thrilled with it, and finally the studio was like, let's do it, and it takes a lot to have a studio go, let's do a comic book film, but rated R.
I'm telling you, that's a ballsy move.
It is, and it totally is.
And I think it'll pay off, because I don't think that this is going to have a ridiculously high budget. I mean, this thing needs to be realistic. They need to have had a budget of like 50 or 60 million for this.
Yeah.
If it's too much higher than that, then yeah, it's going to tank, because it's not going to have this is not going to be like a $500 million movie. It's
right.
Just not going to happen. But if as long as they understand what they're getting into and they've done this accordingly, then I mean, they should look at this and say, "You know what? This worked." You know, from a business standpoint, from a film standpoint, and it worked.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And I just, throughout the trip, I'm trying to think of things, like all the little winks to the camera and stuff like that. This is perfect. And like the whole like emo kid that he comes across, he says like his long ridiculous names, and he's like, that's the coolest fucking name I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, this, I'm so in, I'm ready to go to this and really enjoy it and have fun, because that's what I love the Batman Superman trailer. I love the Suicide trailer, but they just kind of, Batman Superman had a lot more fun, but they didn't lack that fun, you know, or I'm sorry, they lacked that fun, and that definitely, the Deadpool one definitely had. I hope Fox puts that one in Age of Apocalypse online soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, let's talk about Age of Apocalypse.
Let's not.
No, you were bummed that you didn't like it?
Dude, I have not been... You know me. Everybody yeah. who's listening to this and people who aren't, who've never met me, know me, that I have just not been a fan of the X-Men movies. I was a big fan. The Wolverine was like the one I'll point to and say, you know what? X-Men, X2, and The Wolverine. All the rest of them can go to hell.
Yeah.
I don't... Including First Class, including Days of Future Past. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, I'm not impressed. And they're not, that's the thing. Like, they're not going to change my mind. I'm not the target audience. If people looked at this and were excited, that's great. Go see it. But they're not, I'm just not invested. I'm not invested in these characters because they've replaced all of them. I'm not invested in the story because I think Apocalypse is overrated. I'm just not this is not for me. And that's fine. You know, that's great. Let everybody else enjoy it, and that's fine.
Did you see the meme online where it was like a high res, you know, picture of Apocalypse, and it was Ooze from the Power Rangers movie? And it looked really close to what they showed in the image of, you know, whatever that picture was they released.
Yeah.
One thing I found interesting that they did say, and I know this means nothing to you, but I thought it was interesting, is they said that the bright classic suits are going to be in the film. And I thought, that's going to be cool. God damn it, I hope Wolverine is in his suit for one scene. I want to see him in the Wolverine costume. Even if it's a joke, even if he's like, I'm taking this off right now.
He's not going to be in it, though.
Yeah, well, yeah, he is.
No, he's not.
I know they said he is, though.
He's not.
I mean, it's... I forgot what I read. He slipped in one interview, and he was like, "Oh, we'll see after he slipped." But he's in it.
I don't think it. I guarantee he's not.
Let's do a gentleman's bet right here. I'm saying he is. You're saying he's not.
A gentleman's wager. Huzzah!
Yeah, exactly. But speaking of Wolverine, the news about his film.
This, I was excited for this.
Yeah, how the hell they're going to do that with no rights except X-Men characters?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Like, it's obvious, you know, they're not just going to do the old man Logan story. We know this. It's going to be adapted and modified and so on. They're going to pull... It's going to be the theme, basically, of the story, which is still, I mean, that's fine by me. A Logan that has seen, you know, this is 50 years post X-Men. What's he doing now? I'm on board. I'll do that totally.
Oh yeah. Well, like you said, that's what I'm excited about. That would be the perfect way to end, you know, Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. And you know, that would, to me, in my eyes, my fanboy dreams, that would be a way to say goodbye to this X-Men, you know, universe. And it would be a way for, and I know this is such a long shot, it's not going to happen, but that would be the perfect closing and opening for whatever, if they had any deal with Marvel. That would be the perfect way to do it. Not going to happen. I'm sure they're still going to do first class stuff, you know, after that. But,
because, I mean, they have, what are they doing? Like a New Mutants story or whatever? Don't they have like a, because having teenage X-Men isn't enough. They have to have other teenage X-Men who aren't X-Men, but are still teenagers, right? Like their whole.
Well, yeah, it makes no sense to do New Mutants, you know, because if, dude, because in
Apocalypse,
I agree,
they are all new. Yeah.
Fox is, at least DC was like, all right, let's just start with Man of Steel and we'll go from here. Where Fox is like, we don't want to reboot this, but we do, but we don't, but we do, but we don't, but we do. They don't know what they're doing because, yeah, they're going to have a Gambit movie. That was one thing they showed. Gambit, New Mutants, Age of Apocalypse, and Old Man Logan. So it's like you're all over the place there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And what is it? Gambit comes out after Wolverine or I forgot which one.
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so it's not going to make any sense if they do that. So, like I said, that's just my hoping and wishing. And when I saw, I swear, when I saw the Old Man Logan stuff, I was like, oh, that was the glimmer of, oh, well, maybe they're in talks with Marvel, you know, to get rights to some of the Hulk or some to what, you know, key factors into that. But you're absolutely right. It's going to have as much to do with Old Man Logan is, you know, Age of Apocalypse, or I'm sorry, Days of Futures Past had with Days of Futures Past.
Yeah.
And, you know, Age of Ultron had with Age of Ultron. And, you know, I'm sure all of these big titles will have a lot, not much. It's just they're picking titles that fanboys are going to be like, yes, that's awesome. You know, instead of just making one up.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, but that excited me. That'd be a nice, you know, goodbye note for Hugh Jackman, and they'd have to move forward with the X-Men aren't going away, neither is Wolverine, so that would, you know, it'd be interesting to see where they go from there.
No, but all the people that play them are
totally.
That's kind of the other thing they have to look at, like, well, we just cast a whole bunch of people to replace the old people, and now the people who we cast in the meantime to play the first wave of characters were recast are leaving, so yeah. We have to recast the people we recast before we recast the people that we just recently recast, before we have to recast the last role that we haven't had to recast yet.
Right, and see, that's what I'm saying. They really need to do, I'm sure it would get you excited if they did what Sony did. They were just like, okay, we've nixed plans on what's coming forward. The next film is going to tie into the Marvel Universe in a little bit, and you'll see some crossover characters, and we're going to start out brand new and, you know, and go from there. That announcement alone, I think, would excite a lot of people.
Yeah, because we would say, okay, so all of this is done.
Exactly.
And we're moving on. Like that.
Right.
I would jump back on board with the X-Men for that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then we could go anywhere. We could do, you know, you could do your teenage X-Men, or you can do your older X-Men and then have a New Mutants. But if you're going to have a New Mutants, you need an established older team in the universe, period.
Exactly.
And it doesn't make any sense otherwise.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing that would drive comic book people crazy. Not just if Fox said, hey, we're going to do this thing. Okay, great. And then, you know, they do the movie where Wolverine pops up in the Avengers and the X-Men are fighting, I don't care, pick one. And then, you know, a few years down the road, you just see one word come up at Comic-Con. Onslaught.
Yeah.
The geek community would collapse.
Yeah.
They would lose their freaking minds because there has not been, I would put Onslaught above pretty much every pretty much every villain in the Marvel universe. Let me put it this way, every terrestrial villain.
Yeah. I agree with you 100%. That would be massive. And because here's the thing, they really wanted Hugh Jackman in all these, and that's kind of where I think is the linchpin of all of them. They could easily put Old Man Logan in the new films. They're doing it in the comics. know what I mean? Like, if they really wanted their Hugh Jackman, he could pop up in how did I get here? I have no idea. I was fighting a blah, blah, blah. Who knows? But yeah, it's like I said, that I think that'd excite you if they were Fox was just like, you know what? We've done some great films. We have some fantastic actors, you know, and they're pretty much all want to stop with it. Like, Jennifer Lawrence. No.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to do Mystique anymore. Mystique, it's going to be, where are they going to go after this? That's the big question. After this film, what are they going to do? Because I don't see them holding on to all these big names, you know, any longer. So anyway, I don't want to spend too much time on it. Speaking of Jennifer Lawrence, they showed the Mockingjay Part 2. I mean, I'm not really into that series, but what about you? What'd you think of it?
Hey, this franchise is coming to an end.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I thought. It was like a bunch of people dancing around with guns. If you're excited about it, I'm sure her outfit was different. It was all red. I'm not sure why of that.
I loved it's a war kind of theme. It's like in this movie, this is where everything hits the fan kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I loved, did you see the Deadpool response?
Yeah.
That was great.
That was good. Oh, yeah. And, did you see the Fantastic Four trailer?
I did, you know? Still not excited. They're not going to change my mind. I'm still going to go see it at some point, but they're never going to get me excited for this movie. They're not.
No. The first part of the trailer, I liked that part. I was like, oh, Logan was absolutely right. This is Ultimate Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Beat for beat Ultimate Fantastic Four. Uh-huh. The dad sitting in the chair watching football, like, oh, him, you know, Ben Grimm coming over and looking at, you know, his experiment about, you know, teleportation. It was watching the Ultimate Fantastic Four. So, you're dead on. This is totally that story.
Yeah.
And, like you said, it doesn't change my mind. It really didn't answer anything about Doom. I'm still really confused about what he is.
I'm more confused now.
Yeah, man. I was like, what is it? What is he doing? He's like glowing green. You know, I'm sure it has to do with the where they're at and everything. I don't want to say it got me more excited, but it intrigued me a little bit more. And I liked the Ultimate Fantastic Four stuff at the beginning. That looked cool. But yeah, it doesn't excite me. It didn't do what Batman Superman did, you know? Batman Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah, completely turned me. Fantastic Four. I didn't even see it until after everything was done because I don't think many people were talking about it.
Because that movie comes out in like 3 weeks. So.
Oh, it does? Yeah, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, it's what, like the first week in August, isn't it?
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm going to go see it, but it doesn't excite me. Ant-Man has got me really excited now. If you remember, I don't know if it was last podcast, the one before that, I was like, man, I'm getting excited for it. I'm reading all the reviews and you know,
good.
All the spoiler ones.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Well, all fantastic, you know?
No, when I saw like the reviews started going up, I was like, I don't know if I want to read these, like good or bad. I wasn't sure. And I was like, well, I'll take a peek at a couple. And I was like, and they're like, hey, you know, we're as surprised as you are. And I was like, okay, cool.
Oh, yeah. And it was the ones I read were like ones that I knew were professional and like, you know, like IGN and stuff like that. And I didn't actually read the review. I just read the very beginning of it.
Yeah.
And just to see if they were going to go into spoilers or whatnot. And, it, you know, you kind of get a feel just in the first paragraph of what they're kind of saying, like, oh, wow, this was actually bigger than what I thought it was going to be. This was, you know, this is kind of – one of them said, like, this feels like the new kind of Iron Man, just how funny it is.
Interesting.
Yeah, they were like, this is Marvel's take at a comedy, you know, at a heist type film. And that's all I needed to know. And I didn't read anymore. And they were like, and they nail it perfectly, especially with the humor. And I was like, I'm sold. You know, I was sold with Paul Rudd. I really like him anyway, but hearing that it's not too cheesy or cornball-y, really, I really liked it.
Yeah.
And you know, there is one thing I saw, and I won't spoil it. I did see a teaser for it that I didn't even it was before a YouTube video, and I thought, oh, they should have saved that for the film. Like, it was a big thing that happens that ties in.
It's been on the. It's on TV, like the internet.
It's on TV. Where okay, so I could talk about.
Well,
it.
Well, yeah, if it's the same one where it's like, it shows like the little blurbs from some of the reviews, and then in one of the scenes, it's like, hey, that character, and then it cuts to something else. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, they come in, they fly in. Yeah, I was like, what? I would have loved to seen that in the movie, but maybe it's not that big of a deal in the film.
Well, but if you know, if anybody else out there hasn't seen it, we won't talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. Especially since it comes out this week, and I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that wraps it up for the movies. Let's move on to TV. I guess we can kind of talk about these at the same time. Did you see the Walking Dead trailer?
I did.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh my God, I'm so excited for this season. Oh, like I don't even know where to start with this one. It was just, you know, it definitely seems like it's going to be a Morgan versus Rick season.
Yeah.
And just like you could tell that, you know, there's just that one scene in the trailer, where my brain just went to mush.
Who are you looking for? Not coming to you, huh?
My brain is going to break. Hold on a second.
Well, you had Daryl and Abraham.
Daryl. I don't know. I was thinking Dale.
No, and then, he of course, had the fishing
his
hat,
real name, yeah. But yeah. So when that scene where he goes, where Rick's like, "Are you with me?" and he's like, "No, I'm not."
Yeah,
you know, it was like something like that. He was like, "I'm not on board with what you're saying. Like, I don't think that's a good idea." Something like that. It was like a real – you could tell it was a real moment where he was like, "Yeah, I'm not okay with this." And it just seemed like I got that from every character in the trailer where they're like, "Rick, you need to – something needs to happen. Like, you're going too far over the edge." And, you know, but then again, you know, later in the trailer, you know, he's like, "You think you're going to convince, you know," and then he lists everyone's names.
That was fantastic. I love that little like 15 seconds. That was awesome.
Yeah. And he's like, "You don't know who the hell you're dealing with," or something like that. And I was
who the hell do you think I am?
Like, yeah, exactly. Oh. Yeah. And if you go to the AMC site, it shows like Rick on one side with all the people we know, you know, and then it shows Morgan on the other with all the other people from that town.
Yeah.
And you can see it's going to be like them versus each other. And like, you know, it comes back to they were the first people that met each other, and like just how different their, you know, their lives have been since, you know, since the zombie outbreak. And God, I'm so on board for this season. It can't come soon enough. And of course, like every year, it's going to be in October. So I'm pumped for that.
But before that.
Yeah, before that, we got Fear the Walking Dead. And I liked that it was different. It was totally different from the other show.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they're actually going to show them, you know, in the world before. And even in the comics, we don't see any of that. We don't know how it happened. We don't know when it happened. And...
Well, and here's the thing, like we're still not going to have it explained to us, but we're going to see like how it happened. You know, the line, you know, "When civilization falls, it falls fast."
Right. And and that's what was strange. It just showed the kid in the church with these zombies, you know, the walkers. And when he's in a hospital and he's explaining his story, and they're like, "Yeah, okay. Uh-huh. Okay."
Yeah.
And it's like, wait a second. Because that whole scene of him in the church looked like it was after the zombie apocalypse.
Right. But I mean, but like what it was like, here's a kid with some trouble, and he fell asleep with a bunch of other, like, this looked like, you know, these were people that met up and got high and passed out.
And they're all dead.
And then when he woke up, you know, this one walker that was there just hadn't quite gotten to him yet.
Yeah. So, yeah, he probably just killed him, bashed his brains in, and then was found. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Oh God, yeah, it was good. I liked it. I liked it. It was just such a different take, different place, different characters, different stakes. You know, it was interesting, and you know, it's definitely an interesting place to start. We all kind of knew this for a while that it was going to be during the outbreak or before it, showed a little bit before it. So this is going to be a way for them to not be chained to the comic where they're like, we can do whatever we want here. You know, it can be all a whole new story, a whole new whatever. And I love that. I'm going to watch it and not know what direction it's going to go in because even with The Walking Dead, it's so far off from the comic books, but there's still beats that it hits. There's still like, oh, okay, like, oh, I know this area, or I know some of these people. With this, it's going to be like, who are any of these people? Yeah, so I was excited. There's some other TV show stuff, of course. There is, you see the Flash stuff?
I did. I saw the announcements and I thought, okay, this character, I think the one character they created just for the show, was it Patty Spivot, I think. I don't know if that was if that's a comic character or if that's one they've created.
Okay.
But and then they were like, "Oh, and by the way, Jay Garrick," and like I hit the ceiling. I was
Yeah.
like, "That's I can't wait. I can't wait."
Yeah, Patty Spivitt is in the comics.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, since
Yeah.
1977
Hell,
apparently.
for
But you
sure.
know that
Okay.
I've never heard of her either, so
No, like I'm
don't feel
and
bad.
yeah, no, and my, my Flash mythos knowledge is not tremendous.
Yeah, mine
But
isn't at all. It's
I
non-existent. Pretty much. I mean, I know Jake Garrett and stuff is, and
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool. And then, you know, they were like, and then they show the blue flash running through, and I guess that's not Zoom.
No, that was Barry.
That was Barry?
Yeah, the way that they framed it, like that was Barry. And if
Ah,
it's
see, here's my theory. And wait, Barry, who, in the comics, it's Wally West right now that has the blue streak.
that's and that's I think they've ca they've announced, rumored, or cast him for season two as well.
Right, because they at the end they said Zoom is coming, and that's isn't it Zoom? No, wait, no, Zoom is
Professor Zoom
Professor
and
Zoom. That's right,
Professor
yeah.
Zoom and the Reverse Flash are one and the same.
Right, it's like a different, it's an alternate universe
Yeah,
one,
so
right?
that's man, because they're doing alternate universes now, and
Yeah.
that's where Jay comes from, is he's the Flash in a different world, and that's why I want my Superman crossover with Tom Welling. I mean, they're not going to be from the same universe because his Flash was also Barry Allen.
Oh
But,
yeah, it'd be such a Cisco is the linchpin to all of this, and it would be perfect. What a fanboy moment, you
Oh
know?
my God.
If he name,
Because
if
here's.
like he goes to name him, and he's like, "No, I already got a name. It's Superman."
Yeah, it's
He's like,
just.
"That's perfect."
Yeah. But just, I mean, I that would just be crazy awesome. But and we're gonna see, the progression of his character and whatnot without spoiling anything, and everything. I'm curious to see like what happens after, okay, so Barry, obviously is gonna unwind the black hole or something. We know that because it's obviously not going to destroy Earth.
Right.
That's just kind of the obvious bit of it. But like, what happens after that? Like, how does that dynamic continue, especially with how this ties into DC's Legends of Tomorrow and everything? Like, that's gonna be interesting.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. The Flash has me more excited about a comic book TV show than I mean I've always kind of been excited about Arrow. The Arrow we I mean we don't even I don't even know what direction that's going to go in. It's I mean we've seen
We
we see,
saw
you know,
the new suit.
yeah, we did. We saw the new suit and it was like the official Green Arrow, you know, and he came out and had his Loki moment, you know. And you know, speaking to the audience, and I was like, that's beautiful, that's perfect. I didn't hear anything that they were going to do.
The title of the first episode of next season has been announced.
Okay, what is it?
Green Arrow.
Okay, yeah, see, I knew they were going to do Green Arrow. I,
Yeah,
that
they're
that's
just gonna jump right into it, it looks like.
cool. Yeah, and see, I'm excited for that. I don't know what they're because they've done Ra's al Ghul, you know, that, and that's more of a Batman thing, but
Damian
now
Dark.
I'm sorry, what?
Damien Dark. He's
what do
the,
you mean?
He's the next big bad.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because remember, they set him up at the end of season three, and then they cast the guy that plays Dum Dum Duggan. Remember his name. But yeah, they've cast him in that role. Like, that's going to be... That's their next villain.
Gotcha, yes. Yeah, I didn't know that. I wasn't Vandal Savage in it?
He's Legends of Tomorrow.
Okay, that's... Okay, yeah. Okay, all right, yeah. So that makes perfect sense. But man, DC is killing it in the TV universe.
Which just... the fact that they're not incorporating that into the movies, just I wanna punch somebody for all
the
this.
Fact that they're doing the Dark Knight, you know, Returns or whatever. Pretty much, you know, it's very iconic to that.
Yeah,
and Green Arrow is totally. He has a pivotal point in that comic book, yeah. You know, and they're not doing everything from the comic book, of course. But oh god, if you saw Green Arrow hanging from, you know, a ladder in that film at some point, that would blow everyone's mind.
Oh, they'd freak. Are you kidding? The internet would close.
Yeah. It's a shame they're not doing that because it's perfect. Like, but they're ready. Why not? They don't have to be, you know, the main people. Just put a melon there, have him hanging from the thing, shoot an arrow to kind of save the day, and everyone go, holy shit.
Yeah.
Holy shit. You know, that would be one of the biggest holy shit moments in the film. You know, if, you know, not even comic book fans, it would be comic book fans, it would be TV fans, it would be everybody going, losing their minds.
Yeah.
You know, I could see people clapping at that moment. And maybe it is all smoke and mirrors. Who knows? Maybe they do that, but totally doubtful. but God, that would be such an amazing moment. But yeah, man, it doesn't take away anything to do with their TV show, because I am so in love with what they're doing on TV. And
yeah,
I've been more excited about that than I have their movie universe, and I still am. Like, The Flash just excites me. Anytime I think about that, I'm like, God, is this back on yet? Yeah.
October 6th.
Yeah, man. Staying kind of the same hero stuff. Did you see the Heroes trailer?
I did. I'm officially very excited for this show.
Like, yes, I'm on board. Yeah, that got me excited.
What? You're surprised to see me? I was like, yes,
right, yeah, I like that he kind of lost his memories.
It's great. Well, you know, we remember the Haitian. That was his thing.
Yep.
So it's like that, in a way, that kind of makes sense. Like, we live in a world now where these, what do they call them? These evolved humans, they call Evos or advanced humans. Like, they had like five different names. Where it's this is a hunted group. And so what's the best way not to get involved with that is to have his memories wiped. And that, sure, that makes sense. Why not?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I loved the Mika or Micah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Micah, you know, I was like, oh, I remember him. Yeah, and you're right, the Haitian and just all the little things that they showed. And, of course, Hero, you know, that.
And badass future Hero. Like, yeah. I'm so glad we're not with, like, kind of fanboyish man-child Hero.
Yeah.
Worried about coming of age. No, we have it's showtime.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And it showed a lot of Zachary Levi.
Yeah.
And I guess he's gonna be like a bad guy in it.
He's like a hunter of sorts.
And I like that angle. That's one angle they played around with in Heroes, but like, it seems like it's going to be the theme
now
for this.
It's out in the open.
Right, yeah. And you know, they're calling it a mini series, but 13 episodes is a season.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is true.
I mean, for NBC, it's not, but for anyone who watches AMC, that is a season. That's what you get when you watch, you know, Halt and Catch Fire, when you watch, you know, Mad Men, Breaking Bad. They're all 10 or 13 episodes.
Yeah.
You know, Walking Dead used to be like that. That's a season now. You know, HBO, you get Game of Thrones, you get 10 episodes. And sometimes it's better. Maybe a show like Heroes would last longer if it was just 10 episodes.
I could not agree more.
Right.
I think that was the problem, was they had so much fun. Even in the first season, some of those episodes, like if you cut that season by like a third, it would have been so much better.
And by itself, it was one of the best seasons of any show I've ever seen. You can hand that to someone and go, you don't have to watch anything else. Just watch this.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, that was fantastic. Is there anything else? And say, nope. Oh, there's this thing coming out in 2015.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, I totally agree. And that's, you know, that's why I'm thinking maybe NBC wasn't the best place for this. But apparently it is. I mean, it looks great. There's a lot of money thrown into it. They keep it at 13 episodes. Throw me a new season next year for 13 episodes and I'll be fine with it.
Totally.
This might be NBC's step into that door where they're like, hey, all those critically acclaimed shows that are on Netflix and on AMC and on HBO, there's a common theme there. You know, and of course, there's a lot of other things that make them great, but there's that one line that's like, hey, let's make it shorter so we can actually make it more impactful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm totally excited for that. So, yeah, man, I'm on board. You know, it doesn't have some of the big stars that the first one have, a couple, but that doesn't bother me at all. I don't really care. I didn't really, you know, I could care less. So, yeah. Let's see some of the other ones. You see the Doctor Who one?
I did. Oh yeah. My god! And I am so excited. And the end of that trailer will bring in so many more people.
Oh yeah.
Who never watched Doctor Who, and they're gonna see Maisie Williams there, and they're gonna be like, "Wait a minute, she's on the okay. Hang on, time out. What? Who is she? Yeah. What is she doing?" And they didn't say. But right. I love that was Capaldi's line. He's like, "You." And it was wait a minute, they know you. Holy crap. Like, as a Whovian, and I lost my mind. I loved it.
Oh, yeah. See, that's the thing. I haven't seen Doctor Who since he took over. So I have some catching up to do.
Watch his last series. Like, it's, I don't know, it was what, it's another one that's like, these things are like 10, 11 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this, because he is spectacular.
And yeah, I've heard nothing but good things. It's just for some reason it was lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, he's awesome. There's my favorite moment, and he's had a couple. There was one, I don't remember the name of the episode, but they did it in the subway. And like he has a big kind of dramatic moment, and it was great. But my favorite moment from this last series was a big comedy piece where they show up in Sherwood Forest, and there's Robin Hood. And they're going to duel. He's, this is my sword. And Capaldi reaches into his jacket and he goes, and this is my spoon.
Oh, wow.
So they duel sword and spoon. And that was hysterical.
That's funny.
Yeah. No, Capaldi's a fantastic doctor. I love him.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. I definitely want to check it back out. It was watching the trailer. I'm like, I miss that kind of stuff. So, you know, I want to go back and catch up with that.
Yeah.
I did see that Williams, she posted on Twitter or Facebook, I don't know, some social network, maybe Instagram, a picture with Ashley Scott, who I believe does the voice. Yeah, she does the voice. I'm sorry, not Ashley Scott. I'm sorry. Ashley Johnson. Who does the voice of Ellie in The Last of Us. So rumor is that, you know, she could be playing Ellie, and that would kind of be perfect.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I could totally see her in that role.
Yeah.
She looks like a little kid, you know, so, and she's the right age for it. If they did a Last of Us film, I would be on board with her doing that.
Well, cause they are, aren't they? Wasn't that.
They are. Yeah. 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 So she's huge right now. So, you know, why not? You know, I could totally see on board playing that character. But yeah, man, I need to get back into Doctor Who. I've been off of it. I need to get back on. They're just fun. You know, there's just like, I had a bad day or I had whatever, put something on to make me smile for a minute. You know, it doesn't have to be dark and brooding and Game of Thrones all the time.
Yeah. No, and Doctor Who's perfect for it. And it has, you know, look, I think a lot of people, especially Americans, when they've hit the same problem I have. Like, when it dropped on Netflix, I went, okay, I've heard so much about this thing, I'm going to watch it. And so, you know, you start at the beginning of the new set. You don't go all the way back, because crap. But, you know, you start with the pilot of the relaunch. And I love Eccleston. I thought he was a fantastic doctor, but that pilot is so slow, and it plods, and it drags. it was so bad, I actually cut it off. And I didn't know I only had like 5 minutes left in it. I was like, I'm done. I can't watch this anymore. I didn't go back for 2 years.
Yep.
And then finally, when I think it was when was it when Matt Smith was cast, and I was like, okay, I'm hearing all this crap again. Let's try this again. And I picked up right where I left. I didn't go back and try to like restart the episode. I was like, no, I remember the evil mannequins. Got it. And I saw like, oh, I only had like 5 minutes left. Okay, great. And then as I went along, that series got better. And then when it jumped to Tenet, Tenet's stuff is where it took off. That for me was like, that was it. And then I was hooked. I was completely hooked.
Yeah, see, I started with, it was Matt, right? Yeah, I started with the season 5. So I didn't see Tenet, and apparently everyone loves it.
Oh, you have to go back and watch. And I, you know, for the sake of continuity, I would have to say start in Eccleston's run. Go back and start like skip the pilot.
Oh,
and
I'm just... sorry. I did. Once I saw Matt's, I did go back, and I was like, okay, I need to watch this from the beginning again. Let me actually for a second. I did exactly what you did.
Okay.
I gave it maybe 3 or 4 episodes, and I turned it off. I was like, I can't do this. And I didn't come back to it until I saw Matt's stuff. And by the way, that was well into Tenet's thing when I started it. But it was right when Matt's stuff was coming actually live on TV, and I started watching it from there. I was like, oh, this is fun. I like this. The whole Amy and the Doctor, and like, you know, there's moments of just childness, and then that's not even a word, but then there's moments of brilliance. There's moments like, oh wow, that's really well. And so definitely mixed, where like I could see someone being able to sit down this with their kid and go, this is what I watched as a kid. And you can get into it, and I can get into it too.
Yeah.
And it took a while, because I was like, God, that those first few episodes were just like, of that I tried, I was like, oh, that was rough. And, you know, it felt like I don't know, it was just strange to me. So I went back and I tried it again. I definitely need to see Tenet's run, because I did see the whole first season of that again. It's not the first season, but you know what I mean. It was one season of him, and I haven't gone back to Doctor Who since. So.
Oh, you've got to. Tenet's stuff is brilliant. It's absolutely fantastic. And it rivaled some of Matt's later episodes. The Doctor's Wife is an episode that's just phenomenal, in no small part because it was written by Neil Gaiman. Mm-hmm. And that blew me away when I saw his name in the credits. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I already know I'm going to enjoy this. Mm-hmm. And it was fantastic. I loved it.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, you've got to go back and watch Tenet. I think he did three seasons. Yeah, it sounds
right. Yeah. And that's what's kind of cool about the show, is that like when you get onto a new Doctor, it's a new place where people can jump in and you don't have to know everything. Of course, all the nods are there. All the characters a character might pop up and you're like, ah, who's that? But your buddy who's a longtime Doctor Who fan is like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, that monster from, you know, an episode when I was a kid, you know, that to me, I was like, oh, okay, I don't know who these people are. But, you know, a few of them that I went back and saw was like the Weeping Angels and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, I loved the episode where it had the aliens, where like, what was it? Like,
they're all aliens, damn it.
Well, yeah. I should be a little more specific. The ones that looked like stereotypical.
The silence.
Yeah, that was my favorite episode from that. Is you turn away, you didn't know they were there, so they made a mark, and he looks at his arm one time, and it's all marked up.
Yeah.
And there's that speech at the end where he's like, forget exactly what he says, and I'm not even going to try to pretend to remember it, but I really loved that moment. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it's a good show. I need to go back and watch it.
Yeah, and I encourage everyone to watch that show. It's on Netflix. Like the last seven, like they haven't put the eighth series on there yet, mm-hmm. but the first. Everything up until everything from Eccleston up through the end of Matt's run is up on Netflix, and you should watch it. I know the pilot's tough, but it does snowball, and it really starts to take off. Tenet's stuff is amazing. You've got to watch that.
Oh yeah, yeah. No. I want to know why, because you know the Amy left part of during Matt's run, and the new girl I think it's Clara.
Clara, yeah.
Right, yeah. She came in, and you see, you know, not to spoil it for anybody, but you kind of see her before she comes into the show as a main character. And I'm intrigued to see how it all comes back to that moment you first are introduced to her.
Yeah. Well, they did that. They explained how she got into all that.
Well, I'm sure they did. I just didn't see it, I guess.
Yeah, it was towards the end of Matt's run.
Well, maybe. Oh, I'm confused then. Yeah. I don't know.
It was in the name of the Doctor. That was when they did it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll have to go back and refresh my memory.
Yeah, that was the end of that season. And then, of course, they did The Day of the Doctor, and then they did they did his finale, which that made me cry. Like his last episode was just, that was phenomenally done.
Right, and it was, I mean, correct, it was the one where it was a lot of the Doctors, right? Or am I?
No, that was The Day of the Doctor. This was the one after that that I'm talking about.
Okay, so yeah. Maybe I, which one, okay, so this is all season 7, right?
Right.
Okay, yeah. Okay, all right. So yeah, I need to catch up a little bit before, because I remember, The Day of the Doctor, which was it like a special?
Yeah, because the name of the Doctor was technically the end of the seventh season, but then they did The Day of the Doctor, and then what was it? The Time of the Doctor, I think. They did the 50th anniversary special, and
that's
then
what
they
it was.
Did yeah, and then they did one more special, which was the end of Matt's run.
Okay, so that's why I'm a little lost, because yeah. I do remember they had that whole, you know, you get to see one of the Doctors from back in the day that they skipped or something.
Yeah.
And yeah, I need to go back and watch that, because it's all timey-wimey. And it throws me off a little bit trying to think about it.
And you've never seen any of Tennant's stuff. Shame on you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've seen some of it. Like, I went back and saw some of the Weeping Angel stuff or whatnot. But yeah, man, it's I need to get back into it, because yeah. It's such a cool show.
I hope, and that's the thing, when you go back and watch some of Tennant's stuff, I think that there's a character from that that they're pulling forward, and that's who Maisie Williams plays.
Oh, okay.
And I think, now maybe wrong, but I think.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'll go back and watch it. I've been kind of looking for a new show. I just, and I don't want to go into it or anything, but I started watching Halt and Catch Fire not too long ago, and now I've caught up, and I am totally obsessed with that show. Have I told you about it before?
Yeah, we've okay. covered it on I think 7 or 8 episodes. No big deal.
Yeah, no, my mind's like mush right now, as you can tell. But oh my god! Well, I guess I'm an idiot. I miss an episode or two from season 1, and I went back and caught it, and I was like, God, this is good. And so I've been watching it week to week. I'm sorry, the last 2 or 3 weeks I haven't seen, and I watched them all at once, and I was like, God damn, this is so good. But yeah, man. Speaking of weird shows like Doctor Who, weird fun shows, did you see the Ash vs. Evil Dead?
I can't wait. That was so much fun. Like, that's a thing that knows exactly what it is.
Yep.
There's no pretense, no nothing. He knows he's out of shape. He knows all of this sounds insane. He knows that he doesn't actually know anything. Like, I love that. You do know these people were Jewish, right?
Yeah.
No. You should have said that before I made these dumb crosses. Like, it's like, I love that this show knows, and it's in a franchise where they can do that, and yep. It's perfectly in step with everything, and I'm so in, I'm so on board.
I don't think I've ever seen anything more in step, like yeah. you said, than that. When I saw that trailer, I was like, oh wow, this, I will be in day one watching this.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's oh man, it was fantastic. So I'm super excited about that. It just, there's not much else to say about it, but it looked fun as hell.
Yeah, this is gonna be awesome. And I love how like they recapped it. So it's like, did you watch the first two movies? No. Did you watch Army of Darkness? No. Well, here you go. Here's a quick primer of like.
Oh yeah. And yeah, that's exactly what they'll probably do in the first episode. They'll spend 3 to 5 minutes going, here's what happened. Here we are.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. It's like, and yeah. Now you're caught up, so now let the craziness continue. Like,
yeah, Totally. There were some other new shows announced that I didn't really hear of before. One of them I did, but I didn't know if anything came of it. There was one from AMC that called Into the Badlands. Did you see the trailer for that?
I did not.
Yeah, it was totally strange. It was like it felt like a Western, but in a way, this guy had like a samurai sword, and it definitely wasn't. I don't know if I would say it's an Otherworlds type tale, but it definitely didn't. There was just themes and from it that came from all different generations.
Okay.
Like it felt like a Western, but it had cars. But the cars looked like they were from Batman the Animated Series. You know what I mean? But
Okay.
they only show that for a glimpse when he's in like a Western type town. And then, excuse me, and then it shows him in the West, and it's like out in the boonies. And I can't even really go into what it's about, because it doesn't really do a good job to me, at least explaining it.
Right.
It looks like it's this world where this guy runs like a camp or something where he trains warriors, and he's like, for every mark, every person you kill, you get a mark. And our hero has just like a million marks all over him when he takes off his armor. And at one point, I think he tells the guy, like, I don't want to be here anymore. I want to go out there. And he's like, well, what's out there? And he's like, freedom. And that's what I think this movie's about. And he's let loose. And, it just seemed like one of those, like, he got himself into the wrong situation, but he's a
Sure.
total badass, and everyone around him is like, holy crap. So yeah, Samurais in the West, I'm on board. AMC, well, I'll always give their shows a chance.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely check out. It's called Into the Badlands, and their trailer was up, so it looks interesting. It looks awesome. It looked like it brought a little bit of the Marco Polo type, like Asian type, the swords and everything else. But yeah, man, I'm totally excited.
Okay.
Yeah. The other one, did you see the Amazon Prime one, The Man in the High Castle?
That one I did see, yeah.
Yeah, oh man, the premise alone just excites me. Like, what if the Axis won?
Yeah.
Like,
I like, I, well, I mean, here's the thing. We have plenty of alternate history fiction. I don't think we have enough alternate history TV.
no, not at all. And that's the thing. That's what these are things that I've seen in video games and I've read in books, not seen on TV as like a show.
Yeah, so seeing them take a story like this, this Philip K. Dick story, and adapting it and saying, "Well, let's try this." Like I'm in, what if the Axis had won World War II? Hell, what if Germany had won World War I? What if, I love what ifs. I love alternate history.
Oh yeah. It's and I don't know much about the story. I do know that it was a book. I did see that. But I there's this thing, and I don't know what it is, but they keep showing people, and they're like, we need you to watch this. And every time they watch it, they're like, oh my God. So, whatever it is, it almost seems like it's going to change. If more people see it, or so, it's going to change the way the world is.
Right.
And
Yeah.
who knows, how could a film be that powerful? And so that just intrigues me. That totally, like, I'm on board. I want to know what the hell they're watching. I want to know this world. I want to know, the story. I was on board. Damn it. And I guess I'm going to have to get Amazon Prime again. Yeah. Or I can just, I think you can like buy seasons with them. I don't know. I think Amazon Prime's like $100, but I think I'm definitely probably just going to purchase the season and watch it. But yeah, man, I'm totally excited about that. There was another one that was a little strange to me. The Hand of God. Did you see that?
This was another one I didn't see, no.
Yeah, it has what is it, Ron Perlman in it.
Oh, I've heard about this, I think, yeah.
Oh, maybe it was. Okay, here it says it started in 2014, so I guess maybe it already had episodes and stuff. So maybe I'm just totally wrong. I guess it's already came out. I was looking at the trailers for Comic-Con, and no, oh yeah, I guess it hasn't. Yeah, so 2000, yeah, the pilot came out in 2014, Okay, so it was one of those where Amazon showed a bunch of pilots.
Okay, and this is just okay.
Yeah, and I think this is actually what happened with The Man on High Castle, and they were like, "Oh, hey, those are good. Those two shows make them." So that's what they did. And yeah, this one is a little strange. It was, yeah, I couldn't really tell what was happening. It looked like, well, I'll just read this. It says, a morally corrupt judge suffers a breakdown and believes that God is speaking to him directly, compelling him on a path of vengeance, justice. Actually, that's exactly what happens in the trailer. You see that his son is in a coma. He believes, maybe it's his son talking to him, but I guess he believes it's God. And he tells him, like, follow the stream. It will lead you to the person. And, like, he's doing a sermon or something, or he's doing something, and he sees wine fall on the ground, and he sees it go in a straight line, and he goes, no one touch it. No one touch it. He runs down, and it just goes in a straight line right to one man who is a preacher. And, you know, the for the rest of the trailer, you see them kind of butt heads, and you see this preacher is just fucked up. So, yeah. So it seems interesting. I definitely check it out.
Okay.
And the other one, Damien from A&E. Did you see the trailer for that?
I didn't. What is this one about?
Damien from The Omen.
I kind of thought so.
Yeah, it's straight up The Omen, the series, it seemed like. You know, a lot of, like, you know, The Mark of the Devil and all
God,
that other
they,
stuff. It
was
– that never – that movie never interests me. That series never interests me. But if horror is your thing and, you know, The Omen and all that stuff, which is a lot of people's stuff, liked it, it's a TV show about that, him all grown up, because, you know, he's not a kid in it. It looked like – you know, it showed in the trailer what I believe was scenes from, like, you know, the movie where he's a kid. And so in this, he's all grown up. And I think he goes back to the house and stuff like
okay.
that.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, they had so many Omen movies, it practically was a TV series.
Yeah, they're all lost on me now. I remember seeing one of them. I don't know if it was the original or not. It must have been because it looked old. And I know they had, yeah, I don't know. I think there was an Omen in 2006.
They remade it because we had June 6, 2006, so...
Right. Yeah, of course. But yeah, so I mean they had that for horror fans. But yeah, I mean, is there anything else TV wise that I'm skipping?
No, I think that I'm pretty sure that covers it. Outcast. It's based on a Robert Kirkman comic about demonic possession, and it's coming to Cinemax. I think.
Oh, I didn't see the trailer for this. But
yeah,
apparently
it was like a minute long, and it's like, oh hey, here's a guy, and he he's an exorcist or something, or he, you know, not officially, but you know, it's like okay, so this is a book, this is a show about demonic possession. Okay, it's from the same guy who brought us The Walking Dead. I'll watch it.
Yeah, absolutely. Robert Kirkman. I mean, I actually just read the first volume of Invincible. I got during Free Comic Book Day, and I liked it. It was totally different. I didn't know what to expect going into it. I liked it. I want to read more. You know, apparently it gets really good.
Okay.
Yeah, there's points in it where I'm like, oh, this person's got to be really bad, or this – nope. Nothing comes out of that situation. And, you know, I'm like, oh, that's because mainstream comics would be like, they said that for a reason. So who knows? Maybe later on down the road, you're like, oh, they're picking up on it. But nope. I don't know. It's kind of, I don't know. It's fun like that. Like you could tell the writer's kind of messing with you. He's
nice.
Like, he's setting this up. Oh, that must be a bad guy. No, he's just a regular, he's just an asshole. You know, the story moves on. But yeah, dude, like you said, Robert Kirkman, I'm down to give that a try. But yeah, I mean, I guess speaking of, that's the only thing for, if that's the last thing for TV, yep. Like I said, there wasn't that much comic book stuff, because even though it's called Comic-Con, it's not really about comics anymore, it's about movies and television. It really should just change the name, Comic Media or something. but yeah, there was a few things with comics. There was some Star Wars stuff. Like I saw Chewbacca's gonna get his own book.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I guess I don't, how is that gonna,
he and Groot should team up,
right? That's what I was gonna say. That's one of those characters where it's like, does he really, how is this going to work?
Yeah, it's like, how is this character carry his own title? Like, that's, because, you know, like, for one thing, we don't know what the hell he's saying.
Right. Exactly. It's just, it was, when I saw that, I was like, well, that's going to be interesting. You know, is it going to be a mini? It's probably just going to be a mini series, I assume. Or it's just going to be, you know, kind of one of those, like, Rocket and Groot type of situations where it kind of focuses on Chewie, but he'll have someone there to be like, yeah, you're absolutely right about that, but that would get old after a while.
Well, you'd think.
Yeah, yeah. But they did announce a crossover, I guess if you would call it this, but it's, you know, Star Wars and the Darth Vader book, which they have been crossing over. But this is going to be, like, the first official crossover in the Star Wars, you know, universe of comics. So, basically, here, I'll read what it said. It said, Darth Vader is forced to face the entire might of the Rebel Alliance alone after he crash lands on a planet. The Alliance includes heroes like Leia, Han, Luke, and Chewie. Decide they cannot pass up the opportunity to rid themselves of their most fearsome foes. So it's going to be Darth Vader versus, you know, Star Wars heroes. I mean, okay. Like,
hey,
I like kind of what they're doing with Darth Vader and stuff. I like what they're doing with Han, especially with, you know, that. I don't know if I should spoil it, but there's a scene in one of the last comics where it's like, oh, that's a big thing to put into the comics since it's canon,
yeah,
about Han Solo.
Yeah.
And, you know, to tiptoe around it, it's just like, holy crap. Like, but then again, what are we reading it for? If they have to do things like that, or it's just going to be like dragging their feet of like, okay, we've seen these characters, we already all kind of know their fates in this time period they're telling them in, so it's, you have to throw things in like that to kind of throw people off. So
I like
the direction the Star Wars comics are going in. Those are pretty much the only two I read now. I dropped off Princess Leia. I know that Lando's coming out.
Yeah, that was good. I read that was actually, yeah, really good.
So that's going to be cool. Oh, yeah. And I know you'll like this. They said that they're going to do a Legend of Korra comic. Am I saying that right?
Yes. And I am thrilled. I love
it. Oh, yeah. So, you know, I don't know much else besides that. Just that it's going to come out. And, you know, that's, of course, Avatar and Korra fans, they're going to love that. I saw Josh Whedon announce a new comic he was going to be doing. And all he really said was that it's, you know, why isn't there a Victorian female Batman? And so it looked cool. Like, I liked the art that they showed. And maybe it was like a chick with a sword. And the only thing in color was this red, like, scarf coming off of her.
Okay.
And it reminded me of like Shinobi pretty much.
Yeah.
But it looked cool, and it's Josh Whedon, so
Josh, damn it, there is no H on
Josh,
the end of his first
Josh,
name.
Josh. My bad. I was saying Josh, wasn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah. So my bad. Let's see here. So Vertigo announced like a dozen new books. I don't know if I should go into all of them. There's a lot of new Vertigo books and I don't know anything about them. I can't tell you the last time I read a Vertigo book.
I don't know.
I think DC's like, they see what Image is doing and they're like, we can do that. We were doing that.
Yeah, we have an imprint. Hang on. Wait a minute.
Yeah, exactly. So it'd be interesting to see those. You know, I'll probably wait for a few to see, you know, who's on what book and what people say about it before I pick it up. You know, if they got a saga or something in there, hell yeah, good for them. That's awesome.
Yeah, totally.
But to kind of wrap it up, I saw the DC's bringing back its Milestone Comics with Earth M, which I've never heard of this. I guess it was in the 90s.
My DC history, not so good.
It looked like Static Shock on there, because it was a guy with like electrics, you know, riding on a, you know, I'm pretty sure it was Static Shock. But yeah, it was like it was founded by black artists and writers.
That's right. Yeah, this is the one where it was like, what if every superhero was black, right?
Right. Yeah.
It's
an imagined fictional world where it's full of black superheroes, and so that's that's what they showed.
Hey,
and so
sure, why not?
Yeah,
like look, I love alternate universes, and I'm all for it. I would kind of rather see, you know, more introduced, just fleshed out new black heroes. But yeah, you know, like this isn't like, I didn't know about this, so now I'm gonna have to go look and see, you know, what's what, and then see if it's, you know, my thing is are the stories good? Like that's always been the only thing, is I'm just like, how's the story? If it's a good story, awesome, even better.
Yeah, and it was Static Shock, because it looked like him. I was just, it was one of those like reimagining images where it looked like new art, but for characters that were clearly from the 90s.
Yeah.
And I was like, that kind of looks like Static Shock. And then, yeah, of course, yeah, he came from all that. So, he came from Milestone Comics, which is an imprint of DC. So they're bringing that back with Earth M. And is Static Shock in the new 52? I haven't seen him in anything.
I keep wanting to think like he was one, because remember they've done like different waves. Remember like this past one, like the waves were like Green Team Trillionaires and they did a couple like that at the beginning, and
you're right. Okay, so yeah, there was a Static Shock Volume 1
I thought
in 2011.
There, yeah,
okay,
I
so yeah,
was.
He is in the universe. So he's also in this Earth M, but it makes sense they're calling it Earth M. You know, it's kind of like the Earth 1s and the Earth 2s.
Yeah.
This is Earth M, so it's, yeah. So, hey, yeah, that's cool. If it's interesting, I'll pick it up for sure.
Yeah, totally.
And kind of the last thing I saw, that Blade's daughter is going to get a comic, or she's going to be introduced into Marvel. So.
Yeah, she's going to be in his comic, and then I think they're going to go from there.
Okay, yeah. And did you see that apparently Wesley Snipes is in talks with Marvel to maybe reboot Blade, but I forgot where I read it, but it said possibly as to do with Netflix.
Those movies were great 15 years ago. I just don't want to see Wesley Snipes doing it again.
Well, here's the thing. I don't want to see another Blade movie or TV show. I think it'd be cool if he was put into one of those things. You know what I mean? Like if he popped up in The Punisher or any of these shows, be interesting for an episode or two or an arc or whatever. I don't want to see it focused on him. You know, I would like to see, I don't even know, Iron Fist is fighting this thing in his town, and they're vampires, and who shows up? Blade. Like that would be cool. You know, you're right. I'm that was kind of a Blade is kind of like it was.
That was cool then. And I'll tell you what, the first one has aged fairly well.
Right.
The last two, not so much, especially not Trinity, which wasn't good to begin with. But
I'll say this, I loved Ryan Reynolds in the movie, but that's it. He was the best part of that film. He was funny. Yeah. I totally agree. It was, and I want to shy away from saying product of its time, because of course Blade is way before that time period of the movies coming out.
Right.
But those films, the movie versions of them, it definitely was a product of the time. It came out in a time where comic book films were like that.
Yeah.
How that would translate now in the Marvel universe, I don't think so. I think he has a place in Netflix, just integrated into these other projects that are happening. He's not a character that I want to see a whole 10 episodes about, but I wouldn't mind if he popped into a story or two.
Yeah, no, totally.
That's it.
And I don't want to see Wesley Snipes do. Get somebody else. Like, I like Wesley. He was fun then. He's still fun now. He was fun in The Expendables 3, you know, but like,
didn't see that.
Yeah. It's him. It's him being Wesley Snipes. You know what I mean? That's the thing. Like, he's never really changed.
Yeah.
And that's fine, because I like him being kind of funny and everything. But like, look, that time has passed. Like, if you're gonna do Blade, he needs to be recast.
Yeah. See, I don't know. I don't know what he's like now. So, but I can only imagine.
He's the same as what? Did you see Demolition Man?
Yeah, I saw that.
Same as he was then.
Okay.
You know,
yeah. So.
Nothing's changed, which is fine. But like, time does march on. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Get new blood in there. Get someone else. Yeah.
Really, really, you're gonna make a new blood joke about a Blade series? Really?
Exactly.
Damn it.
Yeah, man. Well, that's it. We so much Comic-Con stuff. But you know, we'll be here next week. I know I'll be talking about Ant-Man. You gonna go see it this weekend?
Probably Monday or Tuesday for sure.
Awesome. Sweet, sweet. Yeah. So that will probably be the big thing next week, is we'll do our normal show and then we'll have like a thing about Ant-Man afterwards. I don't know if we'll go into two spoilers or not or whatever. I kind of like it. I like talking about it when it's fresh in my head. But yeah, no. So we'll be back next week. Same time, same channel. Captain. You're right.
It's okay, all right.
Right. No, you're right. yeah, of course, go to We Geek Podcast. It's our Facebook group. And Twitter at We Geek Podcast. And our email is wegeekpodcast@gmail.com. And send us some, you know, send us some questions for the show. Which we've got to get to. But yeah, dude. Yeah, I that's it, Captain.
Captain.